Hey, what's up on Silver Revolt? BMAC is coming to you live from the Glass House. Really great venue. I saw Story of the Year earlier this year, and I saw Sumo Cycle here last year, too. They don't talk about this venue enough. It's a really nice little seclusive venue with some good bands coming through. And speaking of good bands, I am talking to the frontman of this killer alternative rock group. I actually caught them last year at the Whiskey when they opened up for the Sick Puppies. And right now, we're actually going to be chatting with the lead singer. So without further ado, let's have a warm welcome for the actual good-looking Killian. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for taking the time, man.
Oh, no problem. Bro, first of all, the name, Charming Liars. Where'd you get that name?
You know, that name kind of, as cheesy as it is, it originated, we were at a bar, and, my other two band members are English. And they were talking to the barmaids there, and nobody believed that they were actually English. They thought they were faking their accents to get out of paying for their drinks. So she called us a bunch of charming liars, and the name just kind of stuck.
Wow. So how does it feel to be? Are you the only American in the group?
Out of the three of us, I'm the only American. And it's funny enough, I actually grew up in Ranch Cucamonga in the Upland area. So Pomona's just down the street. So this is kind of the closest thing to a homecoming show that I've ever had. So
that's awesome. Yeah. How did you come to join these guys? Did they originally come down to L.A. looking for a singer? Or did you go to them in London?
I wish I would have went to London. I haven't been that many times, but actually they were out here doing music, and we actually just kind of bumped into each other at a party. Being in L.A., you have people from all over the world, so accents are usually, they usually don't draw too much attention, but these guys were extremely loud, and so I just had to go talk to them. So we kind of just started, shooting the crap, if you will, and then after a couple drinks, we were like, hey, we have a lot of common musical interests, so we kind of just started jamming.
All right, that's pretty cool. Yeah, like I said, I caught you guys first time when you opened up for Sick Puppies.
Yeah, Sick Puppies, New Regime. It was a pretty good bill that night. I remember that.
Yeah, how did you get on that bill? Because I know it was for like a one night event.
Yeah, it was like a one night only thing. I guess the way we got on that is, we've actually been friends with the guys and Sick Puppies for a little while, but not only that, we kind of seemed to make sense, having all those bands. It was a lot of fun too.
And that was also a homecoming show for you because you got to be in the Whiskey.
Yeah, the Whiskey. A lot of history there.
Yeah, a lot of history there. That is definitely right. And I gotta tell you, I've been in the dressing rooms in the Whiskey, and I'm actually backstage right now. And I gotta tell you, this compared to the Whiskey looks like a 5-star resort.
There's a little more room here. Yeah.
More luxury in here.
There's a little more room. Yeah. So it's nice, But it's great whenever we even get a backstage. So we're just happy to be here.
You guys just put out a brand new single recently called Like a Drug, and apparently, I was watching the music video, and apparently, it's a trilogy of music videos that tell the story of a young woman who is going through drug abuse, domestic violence, and sexual abuse and whatnot, and she's trying to find solace in a young man who really cares about her after getting out of an abusive relationship. Tell us, how did those songs come out of it? Because the first one I know about is Like a Drug, and I checked out the other one, Insomnia, but I don't know part two.
Right, yeah, there's still that part two that's missing, and once that comes out, it'll all kind of unfold. The music videos kind of just were the music was really just kind of the muse for those. So it's interesting, after we wrote the record, we looked and saw that there was some common themes in some of our songs, and the story kind of just snowballed from there, and we decided, instead of making one video, and that's another thing, we're not even in any of the videos.
No, you're not.
Yeah, and that was kind of a obviously it was kind of on purpose. We really wanted to create something more of like an artistic piece, not necessarily just like your average music video with the ramps and stuff like that, which are fun and cool, but we kind of just wanted to do something more.
Well, you were telling a story about probably something that you guys had some experience in some way, indirectly or indirectly?
Yeah, I think unfortunately in this day and age, everybody knows somebody or has been affected by something kind of like those subjects that you mentioned. So I guess you might kind of hit the nail on the head on that one. Yeah.
What's the album called exactly?
It's a good question. We don't even have a name yet.
You don't have a name yet.
Yeah, we've been shooting around different names, and we have a couple contenders.
Is it out right now, or is it still in the process of getting out?
So the album's done, we're actually getting the last of the songs back right now from the mixing and mastering place. So that's been, you know, we've just been listening to those on the road. So the album's ready to go. We just got to slap a title on it and release it.
Well, do you have a title in mind that you would probably like to see on that record?
I have a few ideas that I'm floating around, but, you know, it's still too early in that process to say. They're still combating each other.
Oh, I get that, and I'm sure everybody wants to get their input on it.
Yeah, it's very true.
But you know what? Let's try something. One of their titles that you really like, why don't you give it to us? We're not going to say that's what it's going to be called, but which title would you say that you got in mind that you really love?
I think right now we're feeling pretty good about calling the record Thought, Flesh, and Bone. But we haven't decided yet, so it could be, and I could be lying about that, you never know. But they don't take my word for it. So there's a few different titles going on.
Thought, Flesh, and Bone. That would actually be a good title, I'll admit. But you could be faking me out.
I could be.
Well, you wouldn't be the first band to fake us out.
I try and give my most honest interviews, but it's confidential information, so I might have to lead you the wrong way. I don't know.
Yeah. So, how did you get onto this tour with Dorothy?
Yeah, we've been recording and writing for quite some time, and we really wanted to get, you know, back on the road and get out of the studio now that the record's done. So we kind of just, you know, we've been aware of Dorothy for some time. Their sound is pretty awesome, and they have a really cool vibe. So, you know, when the opportunity came that, you know, we might be able to tour with them, we jumped right on it. So here we are in the Glass House, you know.
Yeah, the second show of the tour.
This is the second show, yeah. So everybody's still learning everybody's names and mingling.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Isn't it weird, though, you say you like Dorothy, and her first record was like almost straight-up hard rock, mm-hmm. and you listen to the second one she just put out. What's it called again, do you know? Is it just Dorothy?
Oh, I think it's a great question. I know this tour is the Freedom Tour, but I'm not exactly sure.
I don't think that's the name of the record itself.
But not.
My whole point is, with the first one, it was hard rock. This one, it's like a classic rock sound, uh-huh. kind of like something you would hear from a Stones record or an Animals record.
An Animals record, nice. Yeah, it's a good reference. Yeah, it's really cool to kind of see bands revisiting some of those older works. I grew up on album rock myself. My vinyl collection is pretty much just all, you know, like Doors, Stones, and, you know, all the greats. So to hear bands, you know, like I said, revisiting those influences, you know, it's really refreshing. It's cool.
Yeah, mine has Slayer, has Creedence Clearwater, Led
Zeppelin. I got some Metallica as well. I got all the way up until the Black Album, and then I have a few peppered in there. But Load and Reload are so hard to find.
Noah, they don't give enough credit for Load and Reload. Am I right?
I agree with you 100%. I love Load and Reload. Prince Charming. There's so many heavy tracks on those records.
King Nothing.
Yeah, I always hate that when people say, Reload was all the songs that didn't make it on Load. It's like, bullshit. That had, I mean, I think Reload had Fuel, right? It had a lot of big tracks on it.
Yeah, Reload had Fuel, The Memory Remains, and Unforgiven. Yeah. I think that one had Unforgiven,
you know, too. I honestly prefer Unforgiven 2 to Unforgiven 1 myself.
So. It's a toss-up for me.
It's
because
tough, isn't it?
It's tough because for Unforgiven just has that really cool ballad vibe that you really can get lost in. With Unforgiven 2, it's more heavy, but it really does still gut check you.
It does.
And then you got Unforgiven 3 from Death Magnetic, which was definitely more somber than the rest
of the
other two, which was a total undertaking on them.
Yeah.
So I guess after this tour, you guys are going to be hitting the road again with another group, right?
Yeah, we're touring with a band called Welshly Arms and another band called Glorious Sons. And we've had a chance to kind of check out their music too, and they have some. I mean, You know, Wells Street Harvest has some really great songs. I think they're on tour with 30 Seconds to Mars right now, and Gloria's Sons. You might dig them if you dig CCR. I mean, they're not like they kind of have like a little bit of a southern twang to them, but they have some modern elements too. You might really like them.
So they have like a somewhat of a bayou rock feel to them.
I wouldn't say bayou. I'd say maybe CCR is not the right band to reference. But there's definitely some down home elements in their music and really, really great lyrics too.
Glorious Sons?
Glorious Sons, yeah.
Well, then I'll definitely check them out.
Check them out, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we got time for a couple more questions because I don't know your set's going to go on pretty soon.
Yeah.
So, after this one, are you guys planning on hopefully like getting the European circuit out? Because that's where a lot of rock fans are today.
Yeah, I think definitely we're always keeping our options open for that kind of stuff. And I know we've done a few dates, you know, in the UK and things like that. But nothing, you know, there's a lot of places in Europe, you know, deep Europe that we haven't had a chance to. There was actually a really amazing festival. I think it was in the Czech Republic last week. And
you don't hear a lot of bands going to Czech Republic.
No, not enough. There should be more. Their fans are just, you know, I would imagine they're quite happy when anybody goes through there. You know what I mean? Like you mentioned, it's not a place where a lot of tours end up. At least a lot of smaller tours. So I think maybe that's a pretty cool market to kind of venture into.
When you're not on the road or making music, what? Killian, what do you like to do in your downtime? Like, what's your favorite hobby?
You know, it kind of varies. I mean, a day off for me, you know, usually I'll read something. I like to read a lot. But then again, I also like, I really like Call of Duty. So, you know, I play that as well.
So I could see you with the headphones,
yeah,
and you're like
yeah.
saying, no, take that guy out. Use the hand grenade. No, get that machine gun.
I'm totally that guy. And then, you know, I enjoy that, but... it kind of varies, you know. I like to leave my days just as, you know, because we don't get a lot of open days. You know, I like to kind of just leave them open to whatever feels good, you know.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you this then. You being a vinyl guy, so you must have gotten your hands on some pretty good classic British Invasion albums.
I have quite a few. I mean, obviously I have all of the, you know, I have a majority of the Beatles records, but one band that I absolutely love is the Kinks. And I have a ton of Kinks records too. They're such a cool band. I think Dave Davies was just at the Viper Room a couple months ago.
Ray Davies' brother?
Yeah. He was just doing guitar stuff. But that's definitely one of those bands that I would love to see live. I mean, I love the Stones. I love the Beatles and Zeppelin. But all time favorite band, if you want to know, is the Doors, hands down.
Can't go wrong with that. But no way. That was leading up to a question. So you ready for that?
Okay, I'm ready.
Who would you prefer, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones? Who would you like more?
You know, I used to say hands down Rolling Stones, but the Beatles have been kind of a more recent exploration for me. So I honestly have to probably go Beatles. I just think that, I mean, I know that the Stones rock pretty hard, but I don't know. I guess I enjoy the songwriting of the Beatles just a little bit more. But yet again. It's hard. It depends on what day. You know, on one day, one band is 51%, the other one's 49%, and then it swaps. But it's never a big jump, you know what I mean? I really enjoy
it. I get it. I like both bands myself. I mean, really? I had my first Beatles record was Beatles 1, which was their greatest hit, so that got me into them. And I really dug their later stuff more than their early... I love their early stuff, but the album years were just their... Oh my god!
Yeah,
so
when you get Sgt. Pepper onward, it's just
that was like the those are the albums that my mother was not too fond of because she thought they were on drugs. I'm like, but that's when they were really creative.
Yeah, it couldn't have been the album cover that tipped her off either. Right?
Plus, I would say I'm more of a Stones guy because I loved how they were able to infuse their blues rock with other genres like R&B, jazz, reggae.
You hear that a lot on Emotional Rescue, especially.
Yeah, I mean, I was just really surprised that they were able to put them all together and still make it sound amazing.
Yeah.
Plus, my grandfather, who's a pastor at my church, actually opened up for the Stones in the 60s.
No way.
Swear to God.
That's pretty cool.
You know what? After this set, there's a cool story behind how he was introduced to the group.
I would love to hear that.
Yeah, after this set, we'll talk about it. How about that?
I'd love to hear that, man. That'd be great.
Well, Killian, it was actually a thrill talking with you and learning a lot more about Charming Liars.
Sure, man. Yeah, it's a pleasure. Anytime.
No problem. Yeah, anytime is right. Gillian McGuire, the lead singer of Charming Liars, be sure to go get their brand new album, which is not yet titled yet. Might be Thought, Flesh, and Bones. Don't know yet. But we'll be on the lookout for it. No date yet that I know of, but like I just said, if you like alternative rock with a good message behind it, I'd say Charming Liars is the group for you. Killian, knock 'em dead this tonight and for this tour.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
No problem.